Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome back to the second part of the Steelers postgame podcast. I'm Jeff Hartman, senior editor behind the steelcurtain.com. Joining me as always, Dave Schofield, editor of BTSE, and Brian Anthony Davis, our podcast producer. We are continuing to go through our grading. We're grading, giving out grades as we always do in the postgame. Before we do this, I want to talk about the inactive list. Robert Spillane, Dave, go ahead and explain it. Just go ahead and explain what happened.
Well, this
because
was
I think
funny.
It matters. I think this matters to talk about now. Okay.
Well, and not only that, I had several players that I thought I picked all the correct positions for the inactive list. I just wasn't sure which players it would be in those positions. And I actually had an article ready to go. I had names in there so I could delete other names. I'm like, I'm going to pick the most notable name and put it as the headline. So I get the inactive list. I put the headline on there. Buddy Johnson, inactive for the Steelers in week one, leads inactives for Steelers in week one. Only to find out 9 minutes later when the Steelers publish it, it's not Buddy Johnson. It's Robert Spillane. And I'm like, nah, they always give it to Labriola to report, and he reports it. Apparently from the time they told him, hey, this is what it's going to be, send it out at 11:30, to the time they actually had to turn it in is when they had to make the call with Robert Spillane having a shin injury in pregame warmups. So therefore Spillane ended up out and Buddy Johnson ended up in. So that's why it wasn't Robert Spillane. Some people, as soon as they saw it, they're like, oh, is this going to, what's this mean to the depth chart? No, it was an injury thing. So they went with it. Don't know where that would have put Spillane on special teams. I thought of it right off the bat on that kickoff return, if that would have been different. But who knows? But that's how that went down.
All right. It's good to note because we're going to talk about the defense. Let's start off looking at Josh Allen's numbers, and then we're going to base our grades off of that. Josh Allen goes 30 of 51, throws for 270 yards, a 5.3 average, one touchdown, no interceptions, was sacked three times. He's a tough guy to bring down. That's really important. 79.7 rating. Let's talk about the Steelers' pass rush first. The Steelers finished the game with 8 quarterback hits. Okay, that's incredible. And then that's 3 sacks, TJ Watt with 2, Cameron Hayward with a third.
That was almost a half a sack and 2.5. I wasn't sure if they were going to give TJ half on that one, but Hayward was definitely there first, but TJ helped them from not getting away. Sorry.
If Josh Allen is, let's say, a Tom Brady type quarterback, he's going to sit in the pocket.
They would have had 8 sacks.
They would have lit up the scoreboard.
Like 8 or 10.
The stacked, the number, like the rolling numbers. Let's rate the pass rush, grade the pass rush, I should say. Brian, we'll start with you. We'll go in the same order.
I thought the pass rush was absolutely phenomenal. I have one guy that I want to mention is Melvin Ingram III. I think he changes what they can do on that team by having a third starter in there. So you mix and match and pull those guys in and out, move them around. He's playing on both sides in relief. He's playing early and often. He's getting to the quarterback. I thought they were great. I did not expect, I was afraid that that sack record was going to fall this week. And it looked for a while that, all right, it very well could, but then they got it going. And also, not just the sacks, how many more sacks would have you had if the Bills weren't holding everybody? Highsmith would have had a sack. You know, there was Ingram would have had a sack. There were so many sack opportunities.
Okay. So did you, what was the grade again?
A.
A. All right, Dave, grade the pass rush.
Yeah, that sounds good. A sounds great. I mean, how great is it to where TJ Watt comes off the field and you're not overly concerned about it because you've got two other players that are also getting the job done? I'm not saying they're both TJ Watt, but what I'm saying is it's not, oh my goodness, what a fall off. That all three of them, fantastic job, constantly bringing the pressure, and they were held. I put a picture on Twitter, the touchdown that the Bills scored. The offensive, T.J. Watt made it around the offensive line. He reached back and grabbed his shoulder was the only reason Josh Allen was not sacked on that and threw that touchdown pass. And how that doesn't get called, I don't know. That one was, to me, the most egregious out of any of the missed calls. But that's just what they were doing. But, I mean, and my dad asked me, is the Bills line that bad or is the Steelers pass rush that good? To me, the Steelers pass rush is that good.
I agree. That's elite. Like, that was an elite performance by the pass rush. Let me ask you all this, because you all, Brian, especially Brian, is, and Dave, you too, you have mind for this stuff. Mm-hmm. Michael Beck was asking on Twitter, is this the best Steelers trio of pass rushers that we've ever seen, at least in the modern era? Think about the pass rushers. So we have Ingram, Highsmith, Watt. Has there been any trio that's been better? Either of you, Brian, Dave, whoever wants to go.
You know what? I'm going to say no, this isn't the best, because that Blitzburg team had a lot of great pass rushers. You could throw Gilden and Chad Brown in the mix, along with the fact that you had Green and Lloyd.
Just from an edge perspective.
So much so that you put them all, you want to even get them all three on the field at the same time.
Then no, I don't think there's another. If you're just talking straight edge rushers,
yes, and just edge.
Then no, I can't recall anybody.
Yeah. Who was the third with Harrison and Woodley? Was there a third there for them? Was it
Hagans?
Was it Worlds?
Well, Worlds was there in 2010.
Yeah,
You had Hagans in there for a little bit but
even then, that's not even comparable.
Yeah, this is really that good.
And this is just one game.
Being that good and the other two being that good. You know what I'm saying?
This is just one game.
Yeah.
TJ Watt's on pace for 34 sacks this year.
Yeah.
and it's and you know what? With that half, it should be.
If they would have given him that half,
it would be 42.
Yeah.
Tom Muir gives us $3, one for each total sack. Thank you, Tom. We appreciate it indeed. All right, so I give them an A. What else can be said? Yeah. But let's go to the secondary. The Steelers did surrender a lot through the air, 270 yards. But boy, I'll tell you what, this
on
the 51 secondary,
attempts, though.
Yeah, they're right. You're right. When you look at the numbers, I mean, pass breakups or pass defenses, Minka had one. Cam Hayward with two. Ingram with one. Seven total. Cam Sutton, my gosh, I feel like I could talk about Cam Sutton for an entire show, but grade the secondary in terms of the pass, the secondary, pass defense. There we go. Got it. Go ahead, Brian.
Nailed it.
I am giving this secondary an A. I have to. And the reason I have to give him this, I know it's very optimistic and I'm wearing my fan hat right now, but how much did they connect with the deep ball? 51 times throwing that ball, you know, it's all that short stuff to Diggs and Sanders. Now, I know he did overthrow Sanders, and that would have been disastrous if he doesn't throw over his head in the first half, because, you know, Sanders was wide open there. But for the most part, they shut this team down. They changed how Josh Allen passes the ball, because Josh Allen could go deep. We've seen him go deep early and often, and he was just going with this little dink and dunk stuff because he had no choice.
Yeah. They did limit the deep passes. Young Money crew didn't do much. Dave, I can't stand Manuel Sanders, by the way.
I hate that guy.
Talk about burning every bridge. Right. I'm going to hate him as much as Antonio Brown. Anyways, Dave, go ahead and grade the secondary.
First, I do want to say this. Take this, national talking heads. How about a higher quarterback rating for Benjamin Todd Roethlisberger than for Josh Allen? Okay. 83.9 versus 79.7. And the thing is, they're like, oh, Allen had to throw the ball when they were no, he had more pass attempts in the first half than the second. He had 26 in the first, 25 in the second. So it wasn't that. They were throwing the ball like crazy the whole time. And the secondary, the thing that gave up the most for them, I'm going to give them an A, just before I forget to say that, was when the Steelers had the 10-point lead with 9 minutes left, I felt that they went too soft on their defense. And that's actually when they ran the ball against them even more, because of how soft the Steelers went with their defense, because they were up 2 scores. I thought it was a little early. But next thing you know, my dad points it out to me, hey, 7 minutes came off the clock and the point margin is still the same after Boswell hits that 45 yarder. So I'm like, yeah, so that kind of helped. And then at the end, I know some people were really frustrated. You can't give up a 4th and 10 right there. Did you see where the secondary was set up? They were set up 15 yards deep. It would have been nice to just end it there because they only needed the one play, but they would rather give up 15 yards and prolong the game than let someone get past them and get the big score there. That was just the philosophy that they had based on the game situation. So when you look at some of those yards and some of those plays, that's something that yes, you don't like that, but that's the way that they were choosing to play it, not even from a player standpoint. Was pretty happy with everyone didn't play perfect. I mean, my goodness, it was week one. But all in all, I thought they did a nice job.
What was your grade, Dave?
I said A.
Okay. I'm going to give him an A as well, maybe an A minus. I'm leaning one way or the other. Jeffrey Benedict said this. I'm going to bring this up. He said, love the move to put Norwood in the nickel and keep Sutton outside, then bring Pierre in the dime outside and let Sutton play his old dime role. That was a great move. When I hear this type of talk, and he's not the only person that has alluded to some of this stuff, it's almost like, wow, it's almost like the Steelers know how to coach defense. Like, and they know their personnel. Yeah. And it just goes to show you that there's so many fans that do not trust this Steelers coaching staff at all to put players in the best position to succeed. I thought they did a great job. The Steelers secondary, better, but after one game, would you say better or worse than 2020? Brian, what do you think?
I think better at this point, I have to say. I mean, they really took away the long stuff more than they did last year.
Dave, you agree, disagree?
I mean, it seemed like they were doing like they did last year and trying to go at Cam Sutton, and he just kept making play. I mean, yeah, he gave up the touchdown, but my goodness, that was fantastic defense on that, and just an even better throw and catch if you think about it. So right now, I'm giving this advantage to 21.
It's early. The 4th down stop by Cam Sutton erases that touchdown for me. Like, that was such a heady play because he could have crashed down the line of scrimmage. Go ahead, Dave.
Exactly. But here's the other thing. And here's why Buffalo ran that play. And I don't blame them. If he was the only guy out there, and if the full back is able to block him, then that's a 20-yard gain, if not a touchdown. But Sutton not only did what he needed to do, he didn't allow himself to get blocked by that fullback and make the play. So when you say, oh, that was a terrible call by the Bills, it was designed right, but the fullback couldn't make the block on the only guy that he had to block, and then he's running he's off to the races. So that's a fantastic play by Cam Sutton.
And Mike Tomlin said in the post-game press conference that they had noticed this, that the Bills like to do that fullback dive on short yardage situations, and that they had coached up that this would be something they would possibly do to – they know they're going to study that play. So they're be prepared for the kick out or the, you know, a, mm-hmm. a play off of that fullback dive. And that's exactly what happened. Again, these guys get paid to coach. So yeah. Tyler W. gives us $5. His defense put up a highlight reel against one of the best offenses in the NFL. The secondary stood firm. The doubters, including me, were silenced. Would you all say that the Buffalo Bills had one of the top offenses in the NFL?
They were supposed to, weren't they?
And they were, I mean, on paper.
Yeah. I mean, everyone was talking about Josh Allen as the MVP candidate. And, you know, he was the number two quarterback in all of fantasy football behind Mahomes and all of these things. So there was a lot of expectations there.
Not only that, but the fact that this was the number two offense in all of 2020. And it seems like they've grown so much since then. They didn't really lose anything. I thought this, I really think that this is going to be a juggernaut offense. I don't think that they're going to be bad. It was just a very interesting situation. And they did something really odd at the beginning of the game. They had one of their running backs, who everybody was counting on, Zach Moss, be a healthy scratch. So I thought that was really odd. And they brought Breida in.
And as Darwin Nolan said in the live chat, they averaged 30.6 points per game last season. So holding them to 16 was pretty impressive. I do want to bring this up just because it's on the top of my head. Boy, some of the coaching decisions that the Bills made in the second half, I felt were very curious. We'll put it that way. Borderline idiotic. Fourth and eight going for it.
I'd have gone for that.
I wouldn't have.
The Steelers wouldn't have, but I would have.
The Steelers' offense hasn't done crap at that point. Make them drive the entire length of the field.
Well, they had just – wasn't that just after they kicked the field goal, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like – so, yeah, I see your point. But my point was it was too long for a field goal, and it was – you had a chance of gaining, you know, 15 yards for a punt if it goes in – you know, 20 yards on a punt if it goes into the touchdown zone. So, therefore, I understand if you think you've got the offense to do it. The fact that they threw it 30 yards down the field was a little curious, but that's what Ben Roethlisberger would have done.
Well, but then again, also the decision on fourth down to go for it where Cam Sutton comes up and makes the play again.
Yeah.
I mean, you're giving the Steelers, the struggling Steelers offense, even at that point, you're giving them great field position, even if it's only at their 35. I think after the Cam Sutton stop, I believe they started at the 48-yard line, their own 48. Mm-hmm. But still, just really questionable decisions. I feel like the Bills are going to be looking back at this game and say, boy, did we screw the pooch. Brian, do you agree?
Absolutely. I thought they were cocky moves. Very good coach, man. One of the smartest offensive coaches in the league, I think, is Sean McDermott. And Brian Daboll is a very qualified coach as well. I just thought that they felt that they had this all along. And those were moves of a team that were quite cocky. And they underestimated what Pittsburgh could do.
All right. I guess according to Lifelong Fan 07, we need to smile more. He says, why do you guys look sad? I'm not sad. I think we're all ecstatic right now.
What do I need to do?
I was the only one who picked them to win.
There's one thing that has me sad that I'm going to call out right here, right now.
Okay.
Why in the world did Jeffrey Benedict not make a pick in the Survivor Pool?
He didn't make a pick.
He didn't make a pick.
I don't even know who I picked.
I'm trying to
find you know what? To me, that's absolutely amateur. I can't believe somebody would actually forget to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, Jeffrey, come on. Yeah. I need to life coach you, man.
Let's see. Pick Shiner got eliminated by picking the Jaguars.
Pick Shiner's out?
Pick Shiner is out.
I was rooting for that guy. I'm trying
to find Jeff. Where's Jeff? There you go. You have the same pick I have. You have the Rams later on.
Now,
I think I picked Carolina, so I think I'm alive.
Are you in the first league, or did you not get into the second one?
I'm in the first league, yes.
Okay, I got to find you now.
So I believe I went with the Panthers.
Yes, you went to the Carolina Panthers.
Who won? And so did the Cincinnati Bengals in overtime. The Bengals came back to beat the Vikings 27-24 in overtime.
After Jordan Berry had a 65-yard punt. And then to get the Vikings the ball back, in a good position, and then they fumbled it away, and the Bengals scored.
Yeah. Enough Jordan Berry talk. We don't want to bring that guy up. Let's talk about the Pittsburgh
Steelers.
Just for
you, Jeff.
Yeah, the rush defense. The Steelers, carried the ball 25 times. Josh Allen had 9 of those. Some of them were design runs, though. They rushed for 117 yards, 4.7 yards. A lot of that came right on that final offensive drive for the Bills. Guys, let's talk about the Steelers' rush defense graded out. Brian, what do you think?
I'm giving them an A as well, because the big rushes were way at the end of the game when the Steelers were probably going to be protecting against the pass more, when you had, Devin Singletary going off a little bit towards the end. But that was stuff that I was not even concerned with, because most of the time, for the longest time, I think the leading rusher was Josh Allen for a while with 7 yards. They didn't do well at all. So that the rushing defense held them in check.
Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was 70 yards through three quarters, if you look at it that way. And just those couple at the end when they were, you know, you don't want to give up that much yardage at one time. And that's why I didn't like that the Steelers were going so soft so early, because they were really giving up those couple runs. But you know what? It worked out for them. So why should I question it? So overall, I felt that for most of the game, the Bills could not run the ball, with the exception of Josh Allen being able to get out. So therefore, I'm going to give it an A minus, because I'm knocking more the pass defense of allowing the quarterback to scramble on the non-design runs.
Okay, let's go to – I'll give the rush defense a B, solid B. Just because Josh Allen is – when I think of the running game, I think of him and not a running back. So take that for what it's worth. Let's go to special teams now. Special teams, I want to just lump into one. You're giving a special teams grade. So you have to think about the 75-yard return to open the game. You have to think about the block punt, scoop score, touchdown, Ulysses Gilbert the third, and everything in between. We had a Jordan Berry-esque shank by Big Press, although he did follow that up with some other good punts. So, Brian Anthony Davis, grade the Steelers special teams as a whole.
So if we're taking all of that in consideration right away, you should go into the C zone. But I think we'll go with a C+, because Chris Boswell came up huge. That touchdown was a game breaker, and the 75 yard return from the Bills at the beginning only netted 3 points. So I'm going to say that everything else in between kind of pushes the arrow towards the plus more than just right down the middle. So we'll go C+.
All right, Dave, what about you?
I'm going to go B. And it's because it would have been an A or an A+, because of everything else, other than one, the opening kickoff, two, the last kickoff. I was frustrated. I mean, come on, Danny Smith. Why are you having Chris Boswell doing the short run up late in the game, trying to not just do a touchback after you've given up these yards? The one thing that when you went up 10 points with, you know, on the last field goal, the last thing you wanted to do was give them a big return. So just let them start at the 25. And yet the philosophy was, let's see if we can do that. I didn't like that call as much as anything, but I'm not going to blame the players as much for that. So other than those couple returns, I mean, block punt touchdown, that's what won the game. When you think about it, that's what won the game. It changed the Cam Sutton play, then followed by that one on the next series. That's 2 fourth down plays back to back that changed this game completely.
And if there's such thing as a 75-yard return that could turn into a positive somehow, the Steelers experienced that when they gave up a 75-yard return. The defense comes out and shuts them down 3 plays, and they're kicking a field goal. So not that I want to see a 75-yard return to start the game. The defense goes out and does that. I guarantee that gave them a little bit of optimism. You know, they're starting to feel good about themselves in this matchup. Matty Peverell gives a $7.99 in Dingo dollars. He said this win helps when it comes to playoff positioning, tiebreakers, particularly if we finish with 9 to 11 wins, plus a – what the hell? Is he just
undefeated.
Plus a what?
Undefeated.
A perla of a punt block? Is he speaking Australian or something? I thought they spoke –
Yeah. You know, Jeff needs to spend some time with them on that show as they do their slang, sling the slang. So
sling the slang. There
just
you go.
Just nod and smile. That's what I do with you guys.
Yeah. Just check out Touchdown Under. Okay. We have about 8 minutes left. I want to do game balls. Let's go ahead and you can pick on it. It's just one game ball this time. We're only giving out one game ball. It can be offense, defense, special teams, doesn't matter. And we're going to keep the rotation. Brian, go ahead. Just to piss off Dave.
Yes.
Of course, there's so many to give out, and there's some obvious ones. I'm going to go less obvious, and I'm giving a game ball to Trey Norwood, who I thought did a lot of things.
Whoa. Sorry, I'm surprised.
I thought he did a lot of things in this game to give that team confidence, and he was not a liability, so they could focus on other things. I know that's probably out of left field, but come on, from the cheap seats, let's give it to Trey.
I should expect nothing less from BJ Finney. Yeah. Yes. So at least he plays for the Steelers, right, Brian? All right, let's go. Let's go to Dave. Who's your game ball?
Okay, my game ball. To me, there was three players, and Brian didn't take one of them, so you and I might have to cover all three of them. But it's Big 97. My goodness, that guy was all over the place. I mean, two passes defensed, a tackle for loss, a quarterback hit, a sack, you know, four tackles, and he was just eating up blockers. Just anytime you wanted to see where, you know, even TJ sack, like the strip sack with TJ, it's because he was Josh Allen went to step up in the pocket and Cam Hayward was there. So he had to go to the side and Watt comes from behind and gets him. That's why, you know, sacks as a team is a really big important thing. But I thought Big Cam stepped up and looked phenomenal today.
I'm going to go with Tom Muir, who gives us $2. The game ball goes to the $100 million man, TJ Watt, Trent Jordan. I mean, the dude signs a huge deal. And everyone's eyes are on him. What do? You go out and you make a game impacting plays is what he did. Mm-hmm. And don't think there's so many plays that he makes that are, it just goes as like maybe a half tackle, but, or maybe like a tackle for loss, but they're huge plays. TJ Watt with no preseason, no team drills, nothing, went out and dominated. That's what I saw. He absolutely dominated. Let's go to Frodo Watt. I guess that's the long lost brother. 499. He said, bold prediction. TJ Watt wins league MVP and has the sack record, 24 sacks, 35 tackles for loss, 12 forced fumbles, and 50 quarterback hits. Yowza. Someone save those numbers. Hey, and that's crazy.
And you know what?
Okay, go ahead.
Aaron Donald will still win Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah.
Yes. I took it personally.
Awesome stuff brought this up. I still missed two of Cam's stats. He had a forced fumble, which unfortunately Josh Allen still recovered, and he had the fumble recovery on the TJ Watt strip sack. So, I mean,
That fumble recovery, did Cam come up with that ball?
Cam had the ball, yes. He was credited with that, according to the NFL Media Report.
Wait, no. I'm talking about when he was chasing down Allen.
Oh, Allen? Yeah.
Causes the fumble. The ball clearly is a fumble. Mm-hmm. Did he come up with the football?
I think he took it away from Allen when Allen was down. He muscled it away. If they wouldn't have been able to see that Allen got it, Cam would have come out of the pile with it. But I think that they could see that he got it.
I don't blame him.
Way to go for it.
I thought that was one that they could have maybe challenged if they felt that he got it.
Buffalo ran quick after that. They got up to the line and went.
Yeah.
So...
all right, let's do some final thoughts here. Brian, Anthony Davis, what are your final thoughts for this game in week one?
Wow, we had so many weeks to gear up for the Buffalo game. It seems like we have been talking about Bills Mafia, Josh Allen, the Steelers offensive line, the Steelers secondary, the lack of depth all over the place, TJ Watt's contract, you know, it all came together. You just talked about TJ Watt, and he did the ultimate, hey guys, hold my beer, goes in, wrecks everything. Cam Hayward was missing Stephon Tuitt on the other side. And we talked about this on the preview the other day. And we said that this guy is the guy that is going to step up as well. And one guy we didn't give a game ball because I went all the way from left field was Cam Sutton.
Yes.
And Cam Sutton's a guy that we have been talking about the whole time. The Steelers got to bring in another cornerback. They just can't do it. They should have never gotten rid of Steven Nelson. Blah, 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 blah. But here's the deal. Cam Sutton stepped up and showed that he belongs. This whole team has heard how they were going to lose to Buffalo. Everybody said it. People that believe in the Steelers even said it, except for Jeff, who is in the know. But the bottom line to the whole thing is, this is a team that believes. This is a team that has an us against the world mentality. Chase Claypool even said that the other day on our BTSC exclusive interview, that they have that mentality and they know what they have. They believe. We've got to start believing, and this could be special. So this is a win that to me was one of the most satisfying of my entire 40 plus years of watching the Pittsburgh Steelers, because I just have watched this movie over and over again, and this movie ends early on with a team like Buffalo winning. Not today. The narrative has changed. Let's change our narrative with it.
All right, let's get to Wilson's $5 tip. He says, game ball goes to Canada. The offensive play calling, play design, game plan, and corrections made the difference. Cam is close second. He was huge. Yeah, never thought about giving it to the offensive coordinator, but maybe you could. Dave, go with your final thoughts.
All right, I've got a lot of final thoughts. So take this in. Take it all in, Steelers fans, because, you know, Bills Mafia started leaving the stadium when the Steelers went up 10 with 9 minutes left. People were starting to leave. Okay. Then when Boswell hit the field goal later on, they poured out of that place. We heard them talking smack for the longest time. And guess what? The Steelers came in. I mean, it wasn't if they were going to win. The question was about how much they were going to win by was the question. And that's just how they felt that they ended up with a perfectly easy game to start the season. And it wasn't. I said it before. I'm going to say it again. If the Steelers could actually pull off this game, which was one, I mean, when you go golfing, Jeff, and you look at the card and it tells you, you know, you've got the easiest hole and you've got the most difficult hole as you go through, and they rank them. This was one of the more difficult games on the Steelers schedule.
This is like the 2 or 3 handicap hole.
Exactly. Thanks for saying it the right way. I was afraid I was going to say it wrong. That's why I said it the way I did. You know, that was this game. And they did it. And they didn't even score in the first half. They didn't even score in the first half. But the defense did the job, kept them in this game. And at the end of the game, when they were trying to, hold on to a lead, they were bend or don't break and gave up 3 and not 7. So, I mean, if not, you're still talking about a 10-point game. There's a lot to be excited about. I wasn't sure if the Steelers would bring it together enough to win this game. I felt that the defense would do the job. I didn't know if they could get enough points otherwise, and they found a way to do it. Now look out, because now that rest of the NFL are going to be looking for you. They're going to be trying to exploit that offensive line as a weakness. You've got to come out ready to work, ready to go, and let's go get the win at home next week.
Well said, gentlemen. I'm going to go ahead and say that I think Ron Chess put it. Well, he said he's been a fan for 50 years. He said, dedicate this win to Tunch Ilgen.
Yes.
That's absolutely. That's a good way to finish the show today. Tunch would be smiling ear to ear, I'm sure. And all I can think about is him with the, get your bags packed for going to Denver from Indianapolis. Such a great line. Yeah. So rest in peace, Tunch Ilgen. This win's for you there, my friend, even though we never met. We all felt like he was part of the family. So thanks for listening to a part of this. Make sure you follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And we will see you next week after they play the Raiders, the Steelers and Raiders at Heinz Field. Take it easy. We'll see you next week.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.